This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Confirmation hearings today. Tulsi, more RFK stuff. Cash Patel stuff. Spicy day on the Hill. Michael Knowles joins us. Yes, we will talk very briefly about that crash from last night. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, so before we get to the RFK, Cash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard hearings, confirmation hearings from today, let's talk very, very, very briefly about that crash from last night. I handle things like this. If you've watched the show for any length of time, you know this. I handle things like this in a different way. When there's a massive school shooting, I don't run out and do a big show on it. We just pray for the families. Horrible, horrible day. Same thing, something like this. It's not a time to point fingers. It's really not. I don't support that ever. This is a time to come together, grieve. It's a freaking terrible, terrible tragedy. I really like what I see so far from people like Pete Hegseth, who immediately went to social media, put out a video. This was an Army helicopter. We don't know what's going on. We're digging into it. We're immediate openness, immediate an explanation of everything they can on what happened. But today, right now, it's a time to pray and grieve with families. A lot of families got the worst freaking news ever. I mean, that phone call, every, I was going to say parent, but mother, father, husband, wife, son, daughter, it doesn't matter who you are, that phone call, everyone dreads. People are getting that. And it sucks, and it's awful. So just bow your head, say a prayer for God's comfort for those people, all right? All right. Now, let's go to the confirmation hearings from today. It was a glorious day, a whole lot of fun. They all came out swinging.
Shifting the burden around between government and industry and corporations is like changing deck chairs on the Titanic. Our country will sink beneath a sea of desperation and debt if we don't change course and ask the fundamental question, why are healthcare costs so high in the first place?
The public trust can only be restored if there is full transparency, and I am committed to that full transparency. Members of Congress have unfortunately submitted hundreds of questions that have been unanswered by the FBI in recent times. That will not occur if I am confirmed. All appropriate requests for information will be responded to expeditiously and fully.
Chuck Schumer admitted a few years ago, quote, you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. For too long, faulty, inadequate, or weaponized intelligence have led to costly failures and the undermining of our national security and God-given freedoms enshrined in the Constitution. The most obvious example of one of these failures is our invasion of Iraq based upon a total fabrication or a complete failure of intelligence.
Okay. So let's talk about that. In fact, let's focus on Tulsi Gabbard initially here. Why am I supportive of so many of these nominees? Because you know I would tell you if I didn't like them. I've been very honest about that. And the ones I haven't liked, I told you about. But why Tulsi Gabbard? I have huge issues with things Tulsi Gabbard has said, positions she has taken in the past. RFK Jr., a lifelong Democrat. He's in one of these enviro-commie nutballs when it comes to, you know, green energy and stuff like that. Why am I supportive of RFK? Why am I supportive of these people? Because what we have currently is a criminal enterprise known as the United States government. It has become so corrupted, so evil, that it has become a criminal enterprise. It must be disrupted. The thing we absolutely, positively must have is people who are going to go in there and shake things up. The one thing we cannot afford the norm. We cannot afford, well, I mean, he seems very qualified. We cannot afford that right now. We are being led to destruction by qualified morons and evil communists. We need system disruptors. Here was Tulsi from today.
Here are just a few other examples. The American people elected Donald Trump as their president not once, but twice. And yet the FBI and intelligence agencies were politicized by his opponents to undermine his presidency and falsely portray him as a puppet of Putin. Title I of FISA was used illegally to obtain a warrant to spy on Trump campaign advisor Carter Page, using a Clinton campaign-funded false dossier as their so-called evidence. Biden campaign advisor Tony Blinken was the impetus for the 51 former senior intelligence officials' letter dismissing Hunter Biden's laptop as disinformation, specifically to help Biden win the election. Former DNI James Clapper lied to this committee in 2013, denying the existence of programs that facilitated the mass collection of millions of Americans' phone and internet records, yet was never held accountable. Under John Brennan's leadership, the CIA abused its power to spy on Congress, to dodge oversight, lied about doing it until he was caught, and yet has never been held responsible. Under Biden, the FBI abused its power for political reasons to try to surveil Catholics who attend traditional Latin Mass, labeling them as quote-unquote radical traditionalist Catholics. Personally, just 24 hours after I criticized Kamala Harris and her nomination, I was placed on a secret domestic terror watch list called Quiet Skies. Sadly, there are more examples. The bottom line is this: this must end.
What you just heard right there is frightening beyond belief. It was what? That was 30 seconds, 45 seconds? If you were to sit and just marinate on what that means, America's intelligence agencies, America's spy agencies, they now operate domestically almost exclusively against the opponents of the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has taken control of the intelligence agencies of this country and aimed all of their power at you, the free people of this country. We cannot, no matter what else happens, Trump, Democrats, Republicans, we cannot remain a free country. We cannot remain a country at all while operating under a secret state police agency. It doesn't work. It has to change. I don't like this about Tulsi. I don't like that about Tulsi. I'm probably with you right there. Whatever you're saying, I probably agree with it. We have to have someone whose intention is to go in and shake things up. Speaking of the government being aimed at you, aimed at us, aimed at people on the right. Remember this before I play this clip from Kash Patel. Remember that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, if it so desires, because of the power it has, can ruin your life. And don't make that naive statement so many people make, well, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm not a criminal. They can plant things on you and have in the past. They can entrap you and have in the past. And even if they're planting things on your computer, which they have done in the past, well, maybe you'll say to yourself, well, I'll get out of it in the end because I didn't do anything wrong. Yes, you're correct. A year from now, after you've lost your job, your wife, and you've spent $100,000 on legal fees, you may very well be found not guilty. However, are you better off in the end? The FBI can ruin your life, any one of us, my life, anyone, if they want to. Listen to what they did to Kash Patel.
Having been the victim of government overreach and a weaponized system of justice and law enforcement, I know what it feels like to have the full weight of the United States government barreling down on you. And as the Biden Inspector General determined, those activities by the FBI and DOJ were wholly improper and not predicated upon law and facts. I will ensure, if confirmed, that no American is subjected to that kind of torment, to that kind of cost, financially and personally. And most importantly, I will make sure that no American is subjected to death threats like I was, and subjected to moving their residences like I was, because of government overreach, because of leaks of information about my personal status. If confirmed as FBI director, Mr. Chairman, you have my commitment that no one in this country will feel that pain.
The government declared war on Kash Patel. He didn't do anything wrong. He found himself having to move around the country to avoid being killed. That's what the government can do to you. And it is, isn't it so revealing, the conduct of Democrats today? Isn't it so revealing how protective they are of the Federal Bureau of Investigation? Did you hear Amy Klobuchar?
The American public's trust in it is at 40%. That's an all-time low.
Did you say that the FBI headquarters should be shut down and reopened as a museum of the deep state?
Mr. Chairman, are we allowed to go an extra time?
Let's see. You get a second round. Before I call on Senator Lee,
could he just answer the question if he said that the FBI headquarters, where they investigate cybercrime and terrorism, should be shut down and opened as a deep state?
Hey, Mr. Chair.
As a museum. Did he say that the headquarters should be shut down?
Mr. Chair.
I deserve an answer to that question. He is asking to be head of the FBI, and he said that their headquarters should be shut down.
Mr. Chair, parliamentary inquiry.
You got anything you want to say, Mr. Patel, before I go on to Senator Lee?
Simply this. If the best attacks on me are going to be false accusations and grotesque mischaracterizations, the only thing this body is doing is defeating the credibility of the men and women at the FBI.
Mr. Chairman, I am quoting his own words from September of 2024. It is his own words. It is not some conspiracy. It is what Mr. Patel actually said himself. Facts matter.
You forget that you had 3 minutes in the next round to say what you just said.
Okay, I'll say them again.
Yeah, embarrassing. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. You see that? That Amy Klobuchar on the screen? You know what makes me uncomfortable? How tired she looked. She looked exhausted. Looked like she had a cold. You know what? You know what would probably make her feel better? Switching to Pure Talk. I bet you she pays too much for her cell phone service, and that's why she looks run down. She probably got her bill this morning, was on her phone, and she was looking. She said, my goodness, I have Verizon. I can't believe I'm paying these prices. If she would just switch to Pure Talk, free phone with a qualifying plan right now, iPhone 14 too, or Samsung Galaxy. Amy, save a fortune. My bill got cut in half. I switched to the mobile company that loves this country. I know Amy hates it, but maybe she's looking for a change of scenery. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Those who oppose my nomination imply that I am loyal to something or someone other than God, my own conscience, and the Constitution of the United States. Accusing me of being Trump's puppet, Putin's puppet, Assad's puppet, a guru's puppet, Modi's puppet, not recognizing the absurdity of simultaneously being the puppet of 5 different puppet masters. The same tactic was used against President Trump and failed. The American people elected President Trump with a decisive victory and mandate for change. The fact is, what truly unsettles my political opponents is I refuse to be their puppet.
They always find a way to call you the patriotic citizen and enemy of the state. And why do they do this? Of course, you know why. It's to justify using state power against you. A tale as old as communist time. Joining me now, founder of Blackwater, Navy SEAL, host of Off the Leash, Eric Prince. Eric, for some reason, they always find a way to call guys like you, call Tulsi Gabbard traitors. Of course, every single time it is what they do, and we'll see how successful it is.
Yeah, they seem to, they love to throw that pejorative around, and those are the people that have usually done the least to actually defend the Republic. And they are scoundrels and disgusting for doing it. And I really hope Tulsi gets confirmed. It'd be a huge injustice. I mean, as a Army officer, having to live with the failures of multiple layers of intelligence, for as much as we spend, the whole place is a mess. It is a swamp. It is desperately in need of cleanup. And the amount of nonsense and incompetence that is hidden behind overclassification is really disgusting. That is a national scandal. And literally all parts of the government must actually be reined in and accountable to the people and to the elected representatives that are elected to oversee it. And the real constitutional crisis is that you have a bureaucracy that has funded with a black budget that gets no real transparency of how the money is spent and what has gone on with rubber stamp bureaucrats in Congress that are letting it go. So I'm not surprised that the deep state so viciously opposes Tulsi. I hope that the Republican line holds. They damn well better, because the DNI, the intelligence community, requires adult leadership, because we haven't had it.
Talk about this budgetary process a bit, because you're right, they should have oversight, right? I mean, these people, even people in the intelligence community, have to answer to civilian oversight, but they never do. It's always, well, I can't comment, well, it's classified. So how do they get all their money?
Well, there's a black budget appropriations process. Obviously, you know, you don't necessarily want to transmit to the entire world what you're spending on defense or in intelligence matters, but it also allows for an enormous amount of nonsense and shenanigans, which has been ongoing now for decades. And Tulsi is right to call nonsense on it. And reform is needed, just like we've seen across the board with an out-of-control DOJ, with a Defense Department that is focusing on a lot of the wrong things instead of actually delivering excellence and lethality and merit. So it's wrong on so many levels.
Can you explain what happened to our intelligence agencies? I'm very familiar with, you know, how all this began, OSS, all this stuff, but it really seems to have turned inward pretty quickly. What happened?
One of the key problems is that we have the same amount of case officers, for example, at CIA, now that we did in the early 1980s. A couple thousand. The problem is you've added tens of thousands of administrative analyst and contracted positions doing all kinds of administrative nonsense on top of that. So your administrative staff has basically blown up by almost 30-fold, and that allows all kinds of people to misquote, misdirect, and to just do lots of malign things. And on top of that, after 9/11, the DNI was created, and I wouldn't say, you know, again, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I'd say the forming of DNI was a well-intended thing to try to create a fusion of analysis across all these different intelligence branches. But really what it means is that all 17 or 18 branches of the intelligence community have their own analysts, all kind of making their own product. And it makes for a very disparate and fractured and unnecessarily expensive and ineffective end product, right? Because the whole idea of the intelligence community is to collect not publicly available information, analyze it, and to predict what the intent and the means are of opponents, whether that's terrorism, nation states, cartels, whatever that might be. And we basically have a blob upon blob that hides behind classification. It hides their incompetence and inability to get a job done.
Cash Patel went toe-to-toe with Dick Durbin today. I enjoyed it greatly, as I'm sure you did. Here was a bit of it.
So do you think that America is safer because the 1,600 people have been given an opportunity to come out of serving their sentences and live in our communities again?
Senator, I have not looked at all 1,600 individual cases. I have always advocated for imprisoning those that cause harm to our law enforcement and civilian communities. I also believe America is not safer because President Biden's commutation of a man who murdered two FBI agents.
My question to you, though, is do you think America is safer because President Trump issued these pardons to 1,600 of these criminal defendants, many of whom violently assaulted our police in the Capitol?
Senator, America will be safe when we don't have 200,000 drug overdoses in 2 years. America will be safe when we don't have 50 homicides in a day.
So you just won't answer the question.
I
don't think we're safer. Matthew Huddle was sent back to Indiana.
Eric, why are they still so up in arms about January 6th and those prisoners? What is it about this thing they can't let go?
I think they try to demonize anything to do with January 6th because they don't want anyone questioning malfeasance around the elections. I think when you objectively look at the numbers of voters in the 2016 election, the 2020 election, the 2024 election, you see a absolutely obvious spike in voters. And I just ask any objective observer to think, where did those extra, I think, 11 million votes come from? And where did they go? Because they seem to have disappeared this last election cycle. So they are desperate to defend what was a lot of shady nonsense that went on around the 2020 election and anyone away from it. Look, it's better for a guilty man to walk free than for innocent people to be incarcerated. And the amount of January 6 people that were locked up unnecessarily and treated horribly by the justice system, by some people being in solitary for the last 3.5 years, still awaiting trial, is absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, it is. All right, before I let you go, are you concerned about our Navy? I hear from people who know, experts who know, they're concerned about, as much as it pains me to admit, the most important branch we have, that is the most important branch, and they're concerned about what's happened to it. Are you concerned?
Yes, the Navy has definitely gone askew. This latest disaster of actually shooting down their own airplane while it was on final approach, landing back in the Red Sea, is really a disaster. And the fact that they actually had launched missiles on the second, I think the guy that avoided actually had to go to burner to get away down on the deck. It is a massive, cataclysmic, multi-layer screw-up, and you just can't let that to continue. And it must be a, you know, can't let that go unanswered. There's got to be accountability, and I hope the new SecNav is approved soon. And I hope Pete Hegseth looks very hard at cleaning out the wardroom of a lot of Deadwood admirals.
No doubt. Eric, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. All right. We have Michael Knowles. He has some thoughts, as you may imagine. He joins us next. Before we do that, though, let's get you a good night's sleep. That's what you need. Every single night, you need a good night's sleep. Your outlook on the whole world gets better when you sleep well. But what do? There are so many things out there. A doctor will write you a prescription. You can go get over-the-counter stuff. But what do all those things have in common? You feel like garbage the next morning. You know I'm right. Every single time. You take something, you sleep well, and then you wake up, I'm dying. That's what Dream Powder from Beam gets right that none of the others do. It's a cup of hot chocolate, but it's got all natural things in it, like melatonin and things like that. And you just drift off to sleep and sleep like a little baby and wake up feeling good every single day. Do you want to do that? How about up to 40% off? Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
And our kids are getting sicker and sicker. They're not getting better. Nobody here, all the people here who are defending this current system and defending these pharmaceutical industry profits, many of whom are taking huge amounts of money from the pharmaceutical industry, millions of dollars for many of these senators. And none of that, this is not making our country healthier. It's making us sicker. We need to get rid of these conflicts. We need good science, and we need good leadership that is able to stand up to these big industries and not bend over for them.
Spicy. It's enjoyable to me watching these issues come to the forefront and watching the American people discuss them and argue about them. We've never been allowed to do that in the past, of course. Don't want to question settled science. Joining me now, my friend, a man who still has a full head of hair, Michael Knowles, host of the Michael Knowles Show. Michael, are you proud of your hair?
I am proud of it. This is one area where the national health has not declined. But on many other facets of our public health, it has declined, which is why Bobby Kennedy is probably going to be the next HHS secretary.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you think he's doing out there. Look, he brings up things that people don't want to talk about. And I'll be honest, things that I'm ignorant about. You know, we people talk about vaccines, this, and autism, that. Look, I just want to be able to have a conversation, and I get nervous whenever someone tells me I'm not allowed to. It leads me to believe I'm being lied to about something.
Well, you saw this especially in Kennedy's second performance. He really went for the jugular on the Democrats, and he said, look, this isn't really a battle between Republicans and Democrats or the left and the right here. The people who are opposing my nomination are big pharmaceutical companies. And we talk about corruption in the federal agencies. Well, there's a whole lot of corruption here in Congress. He said to Bernie Sanders directly, he said, you know, Bernie, you've yourself have taken a lot of money from the pharmaceutical industry. So that's really where the big headwinds are. And Big Pharma does have a lot of political power. So that's what's going to either float or sink the Kennedy nomination. The other big question from the Senate, though, is can Kennedy pull any Democrats over to vote for him? The one guy who has been rumored to maybe vote for him is Sheldon Whitehouse, senator from Rhode Island, because Whitehouse and Kennedy are law school buddies. They've known each other for 40 years. I think Whitehouse, during the first hearing, was signaling that he will vote for Kennedy if he has to. You know, he was making a big show, huffing and puffing, talking about how concerned people are about Kennedy's nomination. But notice, he never asked Kennedy a single question. So really, I think he was filibustering himself to let Kennedy off the hook. If I had to gamble right now, I would say 65-35 he gets through.
Oh, wow. What are our concerns? Who are our concerns in the GOP? I know Cassidy's all been huffing and puffing and trying to blow the house down. And of course, you can always bank on the low T GOP to screw you in one way or the other. Are we going to see the standard Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski crap? Who are we worried about?
Cassidy is the big one, but yeah, you're obviously always worried about Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, who in their defense, their constituents expect them to be half Democrats most of the time. So, you know, I get it. That's kind of baked into the equation. The one that's really disappointing now, of course, is Mitch McConnell, because Cocaine Mitch has nothing to lose. So the voters of Kentucky want him to be a conservative. But what does he care? He's 150 years old. He's no longer the Senate majority leader. He is going to be out of the Senate after this term, unless they really weekended Bernie's him, and maybe he'll be up through the 22nd century. But he doesn't care, and he obviously doesn't really like RFK. So that means you might need a Democrat. And I'm actually feeling pretty good. There was a question about Masto Cortez maybe could come over. I'm feeling less good about that. But I think that if the rubber meets the road and we need to pull one more vote over, from what I've seen thus far, I think Sheldon Whitehouse comes over.
Let's switch gears, talk about Tulsi before we get to Cash Patel. Tulsi Gabbard, it's really odd how intent Democrats seem on keeping the status quo when it comes to things like NSA, CIA, things like that. I would think traditional Democrats would have an issue when branches of the federal government have turned inward when they're not even allowed to operate, allegedly, here domestically.
What we've been told for most of our lifetimes is that Republicans are the party of the establishment and the corporations and the deep state and the rich Uncle Pennybags. And the Democrats are the independent voices trying to shake things up, speak truth to power, man. And what these second Trump term nomination fights have shown us is it's exactly the opposite. It's the Democrats who are beholden to the big corporate interests, and it's the Democrats who are propping up the desiccated establishment and the deep state. So Tulsi was always going to be one of the toughest nominees because, as Chuck Schumer told us during the first Trump term, the intelligence community can get you 20 ways from Sunday, and she has taken them on. She has spoken truth to power. So Pete Hegseth was the canary in the coal mine. They put up one of their four most controversial nominations right as the first guy to meet the Senate, and he made it through. It was 51-50, but he still made it through. Then they had a bunch of boring nominations, Marco Rubio, all these guys that we knew were going to get through. And then they saved Kennedy, Tulsi, Cash Patel for last. I think because Hegseth made it through, I think that whipped the Senate in line. I think Tulsi is going to get through, but she's facing major headwinds. You know, With Pete, he was going up not against the libs and the Dems. He was going up against the military-industrial complex. He was going up against the defense contractors in the establishment. With Tulsi, she's going up against the IC and all of its related associations. With Cash Patel, the same story. And with Kennedy, he's going up against Big Pharma. So the upshot of all of these nominations is we're about to find out just which of these extra government forces and bureaucratic forces wields the most power in America.
Which brings me to Lindsey Graham, actually, because he's indicated several times that he's hesitant about Tulsi Gabbard. I'm not really sure about Tulsi and Edward Snowden. We have to hear his feminine voice on TV every single day now, trying to kneecap these nominees. But the thing is, Lindsey Graham only gets to exist in the Senate because Donald Trump frustratingly continues to hold him up, calls him up on stage, my good buddy Lindsey. Surely Lindsey Graham is not going to reward Donald Trump holding him up by screwing one of his nominees. I have a hard time believing that.
This is the stick and the carrot of the art of the deal, and it's the only way that I can make sense of President Trump playing nicely with some of these guys, is that he recognizes he needs friends in all corners of politics. He needs them in the establishment. He obviously has the conservatives. He needs them in the Democrats. I mean, two of the people we're talking about right now are Democrats and actually ran for president as Democrats. So Trump is pretty good about all of that. And I tend to agree with you, Jesse. I think if Lindsey Graham comes out now and torpedoes one of President Trump's most prominent nominees, when Lindsey Graham could potentially be the deciding vote on that, I don't know. Whatever Lindsey Graham's views of the intelligence community, does he really want to torpedo that relationship, the most important political relationship that he has over Tulsi Gabbard? I would be surprised. I think Trump is a really smart politician, but I think Lindsey Graham is a smarter politician than all that, too.
Yeah, just got to be careful if Lindsey Graham's trying to sneak up behind you. You did a viral thread on a California school board with all this DEI stuff and all this crazy stuff going on and how these filthy communists are trying to hide what they're doing. Expand on that, please.
So this was a school out in Colorado, the Durango School District, and they were flying the pride flag. Actually, it was the what I call the terrorist pride flag. It was the pride flag, but that has the BLM colors in and the trans colors, and it's the really aggressive pride progress flag. So they had that. They had the BLM flag separately. They promoted black power. That's a direct quote from some of the district's conversations. And it was in the classroom, and a mother complained. So they bring it to the chief academic officer, and the academic officer says, yeah, this, you know, if we're going to have this be an open forum, then you're going to get political speech on the other side. The administrators and the school board were terrified that a student, could you imagine, might wish to fly a straight pride flag? Oh, that would be the end of the world. So they were trying to figure out ways to protect the absurd leftist symbols in the classroom, but not let the conservatives speak. And the way they figured out to do it was they were going to classify the progressive speech as government speech, but they were going to call the normal right wing, you know, red, white and blue kind of normal stuff, that was going to be political speech, that would be banned. And so they were going to try to avoid a First Amendment issue. Now, the really crazy part is one of the teachers at this school, who, according to other teachers, was one of the pride flag waving educators, he was arrested for possession of child pornography and trying to entice a child. OK, so it's always the ones you most expect. So the school, you would think, would be particularly sensitive on these issues. No, they're trying to double down and triple down on this matter. School boards right behind them. So, you know, we're all happy now that Trump is ending DEI in the government. He issued this great executive order to get this leftist indoctrination out of K through 12 schools. That's all great. Now we need to make sure that we get all of that follow-up, because there is going to be resistance at every level, within the federal agencies, at the state level, even down to the local level. So when President Trump has his sticks and carrots, we got to make sure that all of his lieutenants are enforcing those incentives.
Are you still smuggling cigars in and out of the country?
You know it, Jesse. This is my most important issue right now, because there have been so many W's. There have been so many wins in the first week and a half. The only way to celebrate is with a delicious Mayflower cigar. Spark it up. You can get yours today.
Go get a Mayflower cigar from the man. Michael, thank you, my brother, as always. God makes me laugh, dude. All right, lighten the mood. Next.
What we're seeing culturally today is that there's an intentional plan to mess up our children. So you have the perverted hearts of adults who seek to prey on children. And then you have the intentional indoctrination that's coming from the libraries and from the curriculums. Say to you today that no, we cannot abandon the public school system, but we must treat it as if it's a mission field. There are three takeaways that I have. Number one, perverts are perverting the hearts and the minds of our children. Number two, parents are unaware. And number three, pastors have failed to address this issue. But too many Christian leaders today bury their head in the sand with their rear ends tucked up in the air, simply afraid to tackle the hard things because they want to be liked.
Now, that last part is what I want to talk to the pastor about, that and other things. Joining me now, I love hearing men of God talk like that, Pastor John Amenchukwu. I hope I didn't butcher that, executive producer of 22 Words. Okay, Pastor, tell me why any Christian, any man of God, but let's focus on pastors right now, why would any of them be so afraid of taking on all the evil we see? All the evil we see is right in front of your face. You pointed it out in that sermon. Why be afraid of that?
Well, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 gives us 8 reasons why people will be thrown into the lake of fire. And number one is for being a coward. Let's just be honest today. There are too many pastors who are preaching who should be doing other things other than being pastors. We have a lot of weak and spineless and timid voices in the Christian church today. This is the reason why we see the degradation of society. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Today, there are Christian pastors who look at the abortion industry and they say, well, you know, a woman has the right to choose. Although we have this book called the Bible that speaks explicitly about those things. And this same book in Genesis 1:27 says that we are created male and female. But sadly today, too many pastors want to appease people and make people feel good about themselves. So therefore, they hold the truth in unrighteousness and fail to say what needs to be said. And so God has given me a campaign to travel this country nationally and to speak up and to speak out against critical race theory, gender theory, and queer theory. Thus far, I have been to 18 states. I've been to Virginia, North Carolina, New Jersey, Nevada, Florida, Texas, Colorado, California, Idaho, Pennsylvania, Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Missouri, New Mexico, Tennessee, Maryland, and New York. And as a result of this campaign, I have seen lying liberals and ratchet rhinos. Not only do we have this issue in the Christian church, but we have Christian people who get in Congress, we have Christian people who get in office, and they fail to uphold the standards of the Word of God. We're fighting against books like this. The title of this book is Worm Loves Worm. It's a book that pushes and teaches same-sex marriage to kids. We're fighting books like this. It's called Sparkle Boy, and it's a book about transgenderism. Wow. And the same thing for this book here, entitled It Feels Good to Be Yourself. It's a book that talks to kids ages 4 through 8 about being non-binary, cisgender, and transgender. The last time I checked, the average 4-year-old, not even a 10-year-old could even spell the word transgender or cisgender or non-binary, even understand what that means. This is what I call mental rape. Yes, it's indoctrination. Yes, it's an individual trying to push their activist agenda, but it's mental rape because it assaults the soul, it stains the brain, and it robs children of their innocence. And so I've been quite successful in this campaign. We've been able to strike down a transgender policy in New Jersey, policy 5756. We've been able to remove dozens of books like this nationally. We've been able to flip school boards also. But the work continues in 2025, and I appreciate President Donald J. Trump because tone from the top matters.
Pastor, you mentioned that parents seem unaware, and they most definitely do seem unaware, but from the emails, phone calls, from the people I talk to, one of the things that I get often is it seems like there's a state of disbelief that people could be so evil, that people could actually focus on destroying children, at mutilating children, normal people have a hard time understanding evil. As hard as I try to explain it to them, they can't wrap their minds around the fact that demons are real.
Yes, demons are real. And you know, there was a time where we told children, when you go to school, there's only one adult in the classroom, and whatever the teacher tells you to do, little Johnny, you better do it. That's the last thing that you want to tell a child today, because we have people who have taken the role of being an activist. They want to push what I call the false triune idol of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I call it a false triune idol because it mimics the Trinity. In the Trinity, you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God longs for private worship that will extend out into corporate worship. But when it comes to DEI, they can care less about private worship. They want you to bow to their sacred cow in public. DEI is also the proverbial black face. It's the quintessential black face. On face value, you think it's about leveling the playing field for minorities, for blacks, and for brown people. But behind it is a campaign driven by white liberals who are pushing trans zealot ideologies. And we must uproot this filth, this rot from the American education system.
You have a documentary called 22 Words. Here's a little trailer of it.
God never intended for the church to be hid in a corner. That's not what God called us to do. We're supposed to occupy until he comes, but we do that standing. If you pervert the hearts and the minds of kids in this district, you will reap it. I'm disgusted. What a shame you all are.
How do you define leftist indoctrination?
A communist movement just at the heart. It's about dividing society, dividing parents from children, male and female, whatever the case may be. And once you're educated, then you can fight it.
Your time's up.
My time is not up. I'm not leaving. You want to know why I'm not leaving? Because I came too far to defend these children in this district.
Pastor, tell us what you want people to know about this film.
Well, first and foremost, in 1962, school-sponsored prayer was removed after the Engle v. Battelle court case in Hyde Park, New York. Some wicked individuals came together and they lobbied to remove school-sponsored prayer. There was a simple prayer that was in the public school system that kids would recite every morning. The prayer says, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. That prayer had 22 words in it, hence the title of the film, 22 Words. And what we found out from former Secretary of Education William Bennett is that after the removal of prayer, we saw a stark contrast in the public education system in America. Number one, divorce doubled. Teenage pregnancy went up 200%. Teen suicide increased by 300%, and violent crime went up 500%. All of this can be pointed back to the fact that they removed God from the public school system. And so we have gone from prayer to porn, from prayer to transgenderism, from prayer to teachers coming in dressed in drag, given the opportunity to read these kinds of books to our kids. We've gone from prayer to critical race theory, from prayer to teaching kids to hate America, to hate the American flag, and to hate our existence. And so one of the things that this documentary does is it points out the problem, but it also provides a solution. And I bring alongside me notable individuals, historians, David Barton and Bill Federer and Kirk Cameron is in the documentary as well, and many others. And we tell the story of how we ended up in this mess and what we can do. I started an organization called iknowgod.us, and we have a program called Cyclone 400. And my plan is to raise up 400 cyclones who will go to school board meetings nationally and take the baton from me and continue to fight against DEI, gender theory, queer theory, and critical race theory, and get the American education system back on the right track. I appreciate the work that President Donald J. Trump is doing, but we need boots on the ground. I'm working in the grassroots arena. And if you would like to support that initiative, you can go to iknowgod.us, sign up to receive my battle plan and my toolkit, which is the most comprehensive toolkit in America because it's biblically integrated, but it also teaches you how to spot when gender theory and queer theory is being taught. It teaches you how to coalesce and how to build a network. And even it also gives you a numbering system to be able to point and target which particular activist board member you should seek to vote out. We cannot wait for executive orders to ratify all of these issues that we have. The Christian church should leap into action, and everyday parents who are concerned about the education system in America, you have a job to do. And so I'm here to train you and to empower you to do this work.
Pastor John, I appreciate it. I love it. Local activism is how we take back this country. I love it. Have a good one. I appreciate it. All right, we're not done yet. We'll be back. All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And few things lighten my mood more than making fun of the embarrassing clowns, demons, and monsters we have in the United States government. Mainly, I'm talking about our politicians. And man, is that always on display when it comes to confirmation hearings. So just sit back, put a smile on your face, and watch these clowns reveal themselves to be, well, exactly what they are.
Then it does to shut them up.
Mr. But Chairman.
You're a wise man, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman.
Before we go to leave.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, what do you want?
Please.
Is that you, Kash Patel, retruthed, reposting that at the top of that page?
Senator, I had nothing to do with the creation of that meme.
Is that you reposting it was my question.
And that's me at the top.
You said FBI agents were responsible for the violence on January 6th, and I quote you here, beyond a reasonable doubt. Is that what you said?
That's completely incorrect, and I appreciate the opportunity to address that.
I'll give you an opportunity in writing, but this is my time now.
Have at it.
Hear your answer, yes or no. Did you make money?
I don't have
those
financial disclosures.
This is my third and last time I'm going to ask you that question.
You have that information.
So you refuse to answer the question.
I answered 1,300 pages.
You are. No answer. And yet you spread dangerous misinformation.
Maisie Hirono inspires me, and I hope she inspires you. Because if that woman can become a United States Senator, you can do anything. I can do anything. Whatever your hopes and dreams are, if that moron can become a senator, you can do anything. Hope that makes you feel better. I hope that lightened your mood. I'll see you tomorrow. We have a great special coming for you on China. See you then.